Way of prayer request this morning. I ask that you remember Janelle. She had requested prayer this morning. She's in rehab at Jacksonville Nursing Home. Is that right? Yes. And so y'all just be much in prayer for her. Can you remember my mother? Remember Maudie? I'm sure we got a lot of other prayer requests that I'm forgetting, but a lot of sick in our community. Even in our church. 2019 has been a tough year, but God's still God. So. Thank him. And any more prayer requests before we go to the Lord in prayer? Ricky Pritchard, yeah. I talked to him Friday. Seemed like he's in pretty good spirits.
He always is.
So, y'all.
You know, he doesn't think of things.
Yeah.
Well,
that's a good thing. But y'all remember him as pray that the Lord heal his body. Any others? I ask you to remember, which we'll have our shoe boxes. We'll bless them in a little bit after our welcoming. So after our welcoming time, all the youth will meet in the back, and we'll bring those boxes up, and we'll pray over them. And I think we tend to miss out on what those mean to those children in other parts of the world. We are so spoiled in our nation, but just showing them that the love of God and the love of people means a lot. And it's a way that our church can reach those who we'd never otherwise be able to come in contact with. And I think we're up to 107 boxes right now, so I'd like to congratulate you on that. Last year we had 119. Year before we had 105, and I think the year before that was like 60. So we're still up. We're still not bad and for church our size. So I want to thank each and every one that's brought stuff, that's put time into that, that's give money towards getting them shipped or whatever the situation may be. It doesn't go unnoticed, and God will use it. So remember that as we pray. Any others? Nothing else? We'll go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day. God, we ask you this morning to just bless us here at the church. God, we ask you to send your message through us this morning. And God, we ask you that all these prayer requests that's been made known, whether on our prayer list or was mentioned in our Sunday school classes, God, we pray that you would touch their bodies. God, whatever situation may be, that you would work in their lives. Lord, those that have lost loved ones this week, I know we had some in the county just devastating losses. And in Clay County, God, we ask you to touch those parents. God, comfort them, heal them, give them peace as only you can. And God, we thank you for this day you've given us again. And Lord, this time of year we're coming up on, this Thanksgiving season. And God, that truly let us see what it is to be thankful for what you've blessed us with, what you gave us. And God, we ask you to be with Miss Janelle this morning. God, give her peace as she's in the nursing home there, and give her the strength to go through the rehab that's ahead. Father, we thank you for all these blessings for us. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Please stand and join us in our call to worship.
Breaks the power of sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger. The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. For me, I who brings our chaos back into order, who makes the orphan a son and daughter, the King of Glory, the King of Glory, who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of his brilliance, the King of Glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Oh, this is amazing grace. This is a unfailing love. And you would take my place.
I was blinded by my fear, and I struggled to believe. But in those unclear moments, you were the one keeping me strong. This is how my story's always gone. I won, and I lost. I got it right sometimes, but sometimes I did not. Life's been a journey. I've seen joy, I've seen regret. Oh, and you have been my God through all of it. Ooh, through all of it.
stars up in the sky, all these years of our lives. I look back and I see you, right now I still do, I'm always going to.
All the little ones, come back up. This is one of my favorite times of the year, seeing these children doing this. And again, we never know the impact these boxes have and this ministry has on people throughout the world. So, and it teaches these young ones to give back and to give to those that may not have, teaches them to give the love of Christ. So it's much more than just a shoebox to a child. It's Lord teaching us how we should be his hands and feet on earth. So now, if y'all would, each one grab hands, hold hands. I know y'all don't like to do that, especially your own sister. That's probably as good as we're going to get. So we're going to go to the Lord in prayer, and we're going to pray over these boxes. Y'all pray with us. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day. God, we thank you for this youth group, God, that's joined here today to do this, and the efforts of our church. God, we pray that it don't go voids. I know it won't. God, I pray that each box reaches the child that you desire it to reach. And God, I pray that through this, that their eyes are opened through the Spirit of God, to a loving Savior who not only cares about and loves them, but who desires to see them reconciled to himself. And God, that's our prayer, that some soul through this, whether it be one or many, comes to know Jesus. And God, that's our prayer today. God, I thank you for these that has taken part. And God, again, we ask that you bless them, bless the ones that will be brought from other churches. And Lord, I just thank you so much for giving us the opportunity. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
The promise.
Morning again. Good to see everyone out again to the house of the Lord. Looking forward to the message today. And The message the Lord's laid on my heart is a fairly simple one. It's a question that Pilate had to ask himself, and it's the same question that each and every person who has lived since the birth of Christ has to ask themselves, is what should I do with Jesus? What should I do with Jesus? Pilate was in a hard place, I guess you want to say that, as he had several things going against him. We'll get there in a minute, but you and I today get to make that same choice of what will we do with Jesus. And it's the most important choice in our lives. Pilate couldn't see, he didn't have the scriptures as we do, to understand how important this decision was. And we know that God used him to bring about what had to come about. But today, each one of us has this same question in our lives. If you got your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 27, verse number 22. Matthew 27, verse number 22. And we do have several verses. I've worked them out today that these guys got us a lot of verses saved in one part. But we're going to try to get through this. And I know we got a lot to do this afternoon. So we'll try to get us out of here and get to the restaurant before the Methodist, maybe. So that's what we're shooting for. Matthew 27, verse 22. It says, Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Then they all say unto him, let him be crucified. Father, we thank you today for this word. God, we ask you to touch our bodies today. God, touch our life. God, touch my mouth as I speak, that I speak nothing but the words you'd have me to preach. And God, I ask that you open hearts and lives through your spirit, God, that if someone here is asking the same question as Pilate, that, Lord, you'll let them see how important this decision is. And, Lord, we know that without the Spirit of God that in their life and speaking to their heart, that they can't see this anyway. But, Lord, we ask today that we know you're still saving souls. We know you're still in the saving business. And, God, we ask you for just one soul this morning, God. We ask you for one soul to be saved, whether it's in this place or somewhere else, that, God, the angels in heaven may rejoice over this one. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. So Pilate was put in a hard place. And some of the places that Pilate was put is some of the areas that you and I could be put into today. And we're going to go through three different men, or four different peoples, but three different men, to understand that this question is, what must we do with Jesus? Or what should I do with Jesus? Now, if you know much about this situation, Pilate was put into a hard spot here because of politics. Many people will miss Jesus because of politics. Now, I'm not talking about Democrat and Republican, but I'm talking about the pressure put on them from outside sources, whether it be husbands or wives or family members or whatever it is. Many people will miss this, will miss Jesus because of a little thing called politics. In John chapter 19, verse number 12, listen to this, what Pilate was going through. And from thenceforth, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, if they let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. They say, Pilate, you must kill him. If not, you're not a friend of Caesar. And listen, we may think we're not swayed by politics today, but we see it in our country more so than ever, people missing out on Jesus because of politics. This group says this about him. This group says that about him. And my friends, you don't need to worry about what a group says about him. You need to worry about what the Spirit of God shows you about who this man is. And Pilate knew without a shadow of a doubt that the Jews had brought him here for envy. He knew that the Jews had brought him here because they was afraid of him wrecking their little system they had going. And he knew that's the reason for it. And by the way, Pilate's wife even told him, he said, don't you do nothing to this man. I have been up all night and all day because of this situation. And Pilate still caved into politics. My friend, I hope there's none of us here today that misses out on Jesus because of politics. But Pilate did. He had the pressure there from this, and I believe it was a strong pressure because Pilate knew that Caesar was a very important man. And if you went against Caesar, guess what? Your head could be chopped off. You could be done away with if you did not want to be an enemy of Caesar. So the pressure was put by the Jews, said, Pilate, if you don't kill him, then Caesar, you're not a friend of Caesar's. So the pressure became more and more. Now listen, most of us are not going to have this pressure from even a Democrat or Republican to have to make this decision because most of us in here is not in any kind of office or any of that stuff. But each one of us do live and we work around people who is putting pressure on us all the time. We live around people who some may have different views than we do, and some may see that Jesus is a waste of time. They may see he's a waste of energy. But may I tell you this morning that don't miss him because of any outside pressures. Any politics or anything, don't let them sway you. And they did Pilate right here. Pilate knew in his heart that Jesus was an innocent man. He knew this, and listen, he thought he was doing a good thing because he was going to get out of pressure right here. And I don't know much. The Bible never tells us a lot about Pilate's life from henceforth. I don't know if Pilate ever come to know the Lord or not. But what I do know is he allowed this group to apply pressure to him, and we are easily done the same way. There was something when I was growing up our teachers used to tell us about, and it was called peer pressure. They would say you'd get peer pressured into doing drugs, or you'd get peer pressured into drinking, or peer pressured into all these other bad things. And listen, as adults, we are no different. We can allow people to sway us, and the way we know is right into doing something that we don't know, that we don't believe is right. I have saw people in their own lives that stood on the Word of God, and then their children begin partaking in a sin, and lo and behold, they get caught up and are completely out of church. They completely lost what they believed because of outside pressure. And there's people that in hell today that'll wake up in hell because of they have missed Jesus because of this outside of pressures. Matthew 27:44, listen to what he tried to do. It says in Matthew 27:44, it tells about him washing his hands. It said, the thieves which are crucified and cast the same in his teeth. I misput this one here because this ain't the verse I was wanting. But listen, Pilate tried to wash his hands. You remember the scripture where he says, I wash my hands. This man is innocent. Let me tell you something today. Washing your hands and doing that didn't make him innocent. Listen, and just as you're saying, you may sit here and you may say, well, God, I just don't know what to do with this man named Jesus. This group is telling me one thing. That group is telling me what. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll just say I don't know because I'm so confused. That's not an excuse. That's not an excuse that'll stand. Because the Spirit of God will enlighten you and open your mind, open your heart, and let you know who Jesus is. And unless that has happened, unless you make that decision, you don't know him. And he don't know you. And how sad it is for a life to die without knowing Jesus. And all the pressures that can affect this thing. We had a youth group one time at Concord. And I'm not going to call any names. But we was there and we was teaching the gospel and people was preaching. And we had this one mother who said that their child had forever to make this decision. Now we know that that's not right. The Bible teaches that we must make it while he's near. That God has to enlighten us. God has to soften the heart. We don't know how many times that'll happen. But you do not have forever to make this decision. You cannot make this decision anytime you choose according to the Word of God unless the Spirit of God begins softening that old stony heart. A soul cannot be saved. And brother, when that happens, you must act upon it. You must act upon it. Don't let politics pull you away or anything else. But Pilate said, I wash my hands of this. I wash my hands and I'm not having anything to do with this innocent man. But yet he did. Because what did he say? He said, all right, y'all take him. Y'all take him. Oh, how guilty we are of that same thing. We'll say, I don't want to make a choice in this. You make a choice, you either say yes or no. You make a choice. So Pilate missed Jesus for politics. For politics. Listen, let's go down to another one. Self-pleasures got a man named Judas. Self-pleasures. If you know much about old Judas Iscariot, for some reason or another, and Jesus knew his heart, God knew everything about him, and Jesus was equal, co-equals with God. We know that, part of the Godhead. But he allowed Judas to be the money holder. And you know what Judas was? Jesus himself said he was a thief. He was a thief. Judas was motivated by self-pleasures. And you and I are the same way today. You don't believe me. You begin studying the Word of God. And we preached about a little bit of it last week. He says you have not because you ask not. Or if you do ask, you ask amiss. So it can be wasted on your sinful lust. The reason we ask God for a lot of things is for our self-pleasure. And listen, we desire self-pleasures. Each and every one of us do. You say, well, I don't like self-pleasures. And guess what? You're a liar according to the Word of God. And Judas loved self-pleasure. He loved money. He loved the things money could buy. And he let it take his spot. Listen, he was right there with the Lord. He was right there with him. He even kissed him when he betrayed him. And listen, to the self-pleasure, he accepted a little bit of money for this great Savior. Traded 30 pieces of silver for the Savior of mankind. How sad is that? It's so easy to get mad at Judas and say how terrible he must have been. But let's listen. Most people that say no to him is doing it because they make this decision because of self-pleasure. You talk to a group of young people, and God may be working on them, and you can see them grabbing the bench. You can see them doing this. They'll pick up a baby. They'll do all kinds of things to try to get their attention off of it. And you know what they'll say? They'll say, I've got forever to make this choice. I'm not going to make it today. I've got things I want to do. And if I make this decision for Christ, I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't do this thing. I can't do that thing. And so they trade self-pleasures for a Savior. May I tell you something? And those of y'all that are a little bit older, some of y'all is older than me. Some of y'all is a little younger than me. But one thing I figured out is, listen, all the pleasures of the world are going to pass away. All the pleasures, all the money you can put in the bank, it's going to burn up. All those cars you can accumulate, they will break down. All the houses you can get, they burn up. The guys see it all the time. Everything you can get a hold of to bring you pleasure will go away. It'll go away, but listen, when you choose Christ, that's an eternal decision that never passes, it never fades, it's forever in glory. I was watching a thing this morning about Bible prophecy. They began teaching about heaven and, oh, how great heaven's going to be. And a sad thing is many people will trade self-pleasures for that opportunity to spend eternity with God. How sad it is we allow this to happen. Happened to Judas, and it can happen to us. This is in Matthew 26. Verse 14 through 16. 26, verse 14 through 16. You find it right here. It says, one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went to the chief priests, and he said unto them, what will you give me? You ever notice that? He said unto them, what will you give me? Now, what if he had asked Jesus this same question? What if he had asked the same question to the Savior of the world when he was walking right beside him? What if he had asked Jesus, what will you give me? And what would Jesus say? He'd say, I give you eternal life. I give you freedom from sin. I give you heaven eternal. I give you the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. That's what I've got for you. I remember a pastor used to talk to me, and he said he was trying to grow a church, and he said the families would come, and they'd say this one question to him all the time. They'd say, what have you got for my kids? They'd say he was in a small church, they were struggling, didn't have many young people, and said the people would come visit, and they'd tell him, say, well, the reason we're not coming back is because you don't have any young people. And he said, well, what do you want me to do? Start an orphanage. We have to start somewhere. But he said the question was always the same. What have you got for my kids? What have you got for my kids? That's what we're worried about today, bless God. We're more worried about keeping our children entertained than we are about the Savior. What do you think if most people walked into a church and they said, what have you got for my kids? And you told them, I have Jesus. I have Jesus. Sadly, many of them would turn and walk away. It may not be enough. We got to have entertainment. We got to have all this stuff. But he asked him. He asked this old guy here. Listen, he asked him. He said to the chief priest, what will you give me? What will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they coveted with him for 30 pieces of silver. I thought about this yesterday as I was studying this, and I began looking up how much 30 pieces of silver was. And there's a great debate about how much money this was. It don't matter how much money it was, by the way. He missed Jesus because of it. But listen to this. Some people say it could have been as small amount as $90 in today's money. Some say at the very most it could have been was $6,000 in today's money. Now, I don't know about you, and I ain't real smart, but $90 doesn't go very far at all, and $6,000 won't even buy much of a car, or won't buy hardly any of a house. It's not enough money to live very few months, and if it was $6,000, let's go with that number. This man, he missed out on Jesus for something that wouldn't even buy probably about 1 acre of land, and he didn't even keep this money anyway. He traded Jesus for this. He said, what will you give me? What will you give me that I deliver him unto you? And they covenanted with him in 30 pieces of silver. And from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. Judas, for self-pleasure, for these 30 pieces of silver, he was controlled by money and self-gain. Money controls a big part of our society today. The reason such and such people won't stand up for the Word of God, there's word about money. The same show I was watching today. The next thing, I walked through the house and that show had went off and a new show was coming on. It was a Catholic show and they come on. The first thing he said was, our ministry is in a great need for money. And your contribution is going to be what does this and this and this. Listen, if God's in that thing, I know money can get short, but God's going to take care of it. Amen. God ain't run out of money. He ain't run out of ways to get money. He can speak and money can come from nowhere. By the way, he doesn't need your money, but he desires it. He was controlled by money and self-gain. What will you give me? What will you give me? Tom Rainer wrote a book, I Am a Church Member. In that book, he compares two types of members. One's a country club member, one's a church member. A country club member says, what will you give me? A true church member says, what can I give? That's the difference in the two. But old Judas, controlled by self-pleasure. John chapter 12, verse 6 shows you what I was telling you earlier. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and he had the bag and bare what was put therein. This is Jesus talking. He said, Judas was a thief. He was a thief. He was stealing money from the very kingdom of God. We studied in our Sunday school lesson this morning about our stealing and about thieves. And guess what we found out? We all left there. We got done with that lesson mighty quick. It wasn't as fast as that one on husband and wives. We went through that thing so fast we had 30 minutes to spare. Now listen, you know what it said to us? It said we was all thieves. It said if you've ever been at work and you've goofed around on a computer when you're supposed to be doing something else, or you and a co-worker was messing around and talking and you wasn't working for that employer, guess what it said you did? It said you was a thief. But he says right here that Judas was a thief because he desired this money. He didn't care about that ointment that was wasted. He cared about the money that was wasted because he was stealing the money from the kingdom of God and from the ministry. Controlled by money. So far, we've had Pilate, controlled by politics. We've had Judas, controlled by self-pleasure. Listen to this man named Agrippa. Agrippa. This is where the reading that is. There's a lot of reading right here, but I want you to listen. I want you to listen close, and you can read as I read. It says, then Agrippa said to Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself. I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all things, wherefore I'm accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be an expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Stop right there for 1 minute. Agrippa was a Jew. He knew the laws inside and out. He knew the Jewish religion. He said, an expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews, wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among my own nation, Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify, that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, under which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought within myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many other saints that I shut up in prison. Having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them, even in strange cities. Whereupon I was went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests. At midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking to me. Now I'm going to stop right here again. This is where I say that all don't hear the voice at the same time. If you ever read this and understood this, none other of those heard this voice except for Paul. And my friend, if this happened to Paul, this probably happens in every situation. They may be a building full of youth. They may be a building full of adults. And listen, and the Spirit of God come down, and we're all emotional. We're all upset. And we all may bow down to the ground, scared to death. But listen, God just spoke to Paul at this time. I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecute thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things, which thou hast seen, and those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, whom I now send thee, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them, which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them at Damascus, and at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coast of Judea, then the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, who do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue this day, witnessing both the small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer. He should be the first that should raise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And thus he has thus spoke for himself. Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, wherefore I also speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. And King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also thou, hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. In verse 28, there's two different interpretations of that verse. King James Version says almost, when you read that, you're led to believe that he nearly accepted Christ. I honestly don't know which way. I know the other versions say that it meant that, do you think you could persuade me that quick to become a Christian? Whichever case it was, Agrippa, I believe, heard the gospel preached by Paul at that moment. And I believe that Agrippa had a choice to make. I believe Agrippa's eyes was open at that point. And listen again. We can argue all day which version's right, which interpretation is right, whether it meant he was almost ready to accept Christ or the Spirit of God working on him. I don't know. I don't know that he could have meant that, do you think you could persuade me this easy? I'm so learned in the Jewish religion. Can you believe you could persuade me this easy? But listen, one thing I do know for sure is Agrippa allowed religion to keep him from Christ. He said, Paul said it. He said, Agrippa, you know all things of the Jewish religion. You know all things of this. And listen to me. Today in New Harmony Baptist Church, if we could see through the ages of time, since this church and all the other churches in our county and all throughout the country has been there, we would be amazed by the people who has missed Christ because of religion. Religion. Our belief is not a religion, it's a relationship. It's not about that I come here and I do things and you can have a religion in many things. I've heard people say, well, he was a great religious man. Oh, so what? That don't mean anything. What means something is that man had a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what the difference is. And listen, Agrippa missed out on Jesus because of religion. How sad this was. He washed his hands every time he ate. He didn't eat certain foods. He wore his cufflinks just right. He done everything as the law said he was to do. He thought he didn't steal, but we know today from our Sunday school lesson he did. He thought he didn't do anything wrong. He thought he kept all those laws, all 613, just like he thought he was supposed to do. And he missed out on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. People in churches have missed out on Jesus. Many people, they'll say, well, I joined the church, and I'll tell you the reason I joined is my granddaddy started that church. Oh, yeah, he was a charter member, they'll say. He done this and this and this, and I joined the church in this day. More people can tell you when they joined the church than they can when they receive Christ. You know why? Because it's a work-based thing. For some reason, us people think we must work for something. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, we're saved by grace through faith and not of our works, lest any man should boast. There's not a one of us in here that earned salvation. It was given to us by Jesus Christ. But many will miss Jesus because of religion, because of church tradition, because of Mama and Papa always said, do this. Well, we can't do this because this is the way it's always been done. We can't do that because it's the way it's always been done. Jesus come to seek and to save that which was lost. He's not worried about religion. He's not worried about tradition. He's worried about a heart. Traditions in our church, just like the Jewish faith, have been the means by which people tend to trust in their own works. I believe we should have church membership. I believe that. I believe you should be committed to a church where you belong. If you can't do that here, you need to go somewhere you can. I believe you should be about the Father's business. I should believe you should be all these things. A lot of traditions we got in the Baptist church, I like. Is all of them biblical? No. But listen, traditions and religion, don't let it blind your eyes to Jesus Christ. You say, well, what works are you talking about? I joined a church. That's what people will say. And the next thing they say after I joined a church, well, I was baptized. After they say I was baptized, they'll say, oh, well, I used to go out there and feed the hungry down there at the thing. Or I used to go over here and I did this. So you see, in salvation, I don't have any part. It is simply a trusting in the Savior named Jesus Christ. That's how a man, woman, boy, or girl is saved. Religion. Agrippa missed Jesus because of religion. Lastly, there's a whole group that fits in this next one, that missed Christ. Psalms chapter 10, verse 4. The wicked, oh my goodness, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Here lies the number one reason that people miss Christ is pride. I'm not talking about you should have pride in your work. You should have pride in your community. You should have pride in your school, whether it be Alabama or Auburn. If you want to pull for them, you can do that. But listen, in all these things, we should have pride. In your family, you should have pride. They should be pride in your name. But listen, one thing you cannot have pride in is in your relationship with God. Because according to what I read, your righteousness is a filthy rags. And you don't want to get in what that filthy rag thing was. It was nasty. But that's what your righteousness is today. You have nothing to bring to this thing but a broken heart and a contrite spirit. I began looking this up. It tells us if we come to Christ, we must come with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. I've heard that preached all my life. And I looked it up, the meanings of those words. And I was floored by what it meant. You know what the word contrite means? It means collapsed. Collapsed. In Psalms it tells us the only thing you've got to offer God is a broken heart and a contrite spirit. You look it up in the Greek and Hebrew, it means collapsed physically and mentally. You want me to tell you today when people can get in touch with God, when they'll listen to the Spirit of God, it's when they're broken. It's when they're broken. You want to know why? And listen, we're guilty of saying that they go into these drug rehab centers and they get jailhouse religion in there and they get this and that. Well, honey, it may be that that's the only time in their life they've ever been collapsed. It may have been the only time in their life when they've ever been broken. And until you're broken, according to the Word of God, you cannot be saved. It said you got to come with a broken heart and a collapsed spirit. A spirit that is not lifted up. A spirit that has bent down. A spirit that is humbly. The Bible teaches you must come to God humbly before Him. And I'm afraid today that many of us come built up saying, oh God, save me. I'm pretty good, but I need saving anyway. Listen, until we get to the point where we realize we're broken and contrite and collapsed, we cannot find Jesus. That's Bible. Contrite. Collapsed. We may say this in public, but you alone know. You know if you're saved. You can stand, you can fool me, you can fool anybody. But unless you've come to Christ in a collapsed state, a broken state, a state of understanding that you're a broken individual. You're collapsed in your faith. You're collapsed in your spirit. You're collapsed physically, mentally. You just can't go nowhere else. And you cry out to God. That's how he hears you. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Pride kept the wicked from God. Who is the wicked? All those that are without Christ. You may say, well, now listen, preacher. Before I came to Christ, I still wasn't wicked. I still wasn't mean. I still wasn't this and that. Well, there again, you make the Word of God a liar, because it says nothing good has come from the heart of man. Church, today I want you to get this. If you don't get anything else from this sermon, you get this. Do not miss Jesus because of pride. I've read stories of new men who's baptized, grandmothers who taught Sunday school for 50 years. Their religion is simply that. It was built on their, what they thought was salvation was built upon a religion. They had joined a church. Never a time in their life had they been broken and crawled out to Christ. I've heard of deacons being saved. I've ever heard of a pastor who pastored for 30-something years was saved in a revival service. He realized he had never repented. He had never been broken. This morning, do you remember a time when you was a broken heart in a contrite spirit? Collapsed. I'm talking about collapsed. I had the picture of when I was reading this in my mind of a building that had fell down. Collapsed. There's no hope for that building. Only hope it had was to scoop it up and start over with a new one. That's the type of what it's talking about. When you come realizing that there's nothing good in me, and anything that's going to happen is going to be done by God, you're collapsed physically, mentally, you don't know nowhere else to go, then will you seek after God. Until then, He is not at all in your thoughts. Many people come to Christ through sickness. Maybe the only time they've ever been collapsed. I know a man who came to Christ through kidney cancer. The only time he's ever been collapsed. Prideful man. Pride is our enemy. Today, as Pat comes, begins playing, everybody would please stand. We talked about politics. We talked about self-pleasures. All these things that keeps a person from God. You may have never been in politics. Most of us haven't. You definitely love self-pleasure because you're human. Religion, most of us bring our kids up in church. But many times we forget to show them the way to Jesus. But one thing that sure enough we all have to deal with is that thing called pride. You may have been here all your life. And you know in your heart today that there's never been a time when you was broken before God. When you was broken. I'm talking about the point you didn't know where you realized you was a sinner and you didn't know there was anything. There was no hope for you outside of Jesus. You've never been to that point. And you're sitting there saying today, well, I am not going to move because last thing I want to be known for is a fake. That is pride keeping you from God. I'm not trying to make you doubt anything this morning. This message was laid upon my heart for a reason. And I may never know why. But it does not return void. Don't let pride or any of these things keep you from Jesus. If that Spirit of God this morning is working on your heart, if He's speaking to you such as He did Paul, think about this. You may be the only one in this building that it's speaking to. You may be the only one in Alabama this morning the Spirit of God is speaking to. You don't know that. I don't know that. But you definitely know if He's speaking to you. And if He is, receive Him today. This is your chance. He's enlightened you. He's come by your heart. He's softened that old hard thing. And you may need to come with a contrite spirit, with a collapsed spirit, with nowhere else to go but to Jesus. Then you can come. As she plays,